Welcome to Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while now, our desire is that by the end of our time together, you can say that you've fallen more in love with Jesus and have a greater passion for Him and His purposes in the earth. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
Passion and Purpose community, we're excited to be with you today. We got Jimmy with us, and Jimmy, I love the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I love how the Holy Spirit speaks things to us, guides us, gives us insight into things that open doors to take us places we never would have imagined ourselves going.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about that today. You had a dream earlier this year about a passage of scripture that has opened a number of doors, and I want you to share with our community, what was that dream, what was the scripture? And then we're going to talk about the story that's unfolded over the last several months.
Hey, we're going to have a lot of fun today, guys. It is story time, and we're going to. I'm just so excited about what God's doing, because He's always doing above and beyond what we could ask or think. Mm-hmm. We just don't always see it.
Right.
All right. So here it is. It was about February of this year, of 23, and I had a dream. And you know what's interesting is Acts 2 says that old men will dream dreams. I think I finally got the old man card, because I'm getting more of those than usual. And of course, every dream isn't something prophetic or something from God, but this was very unique. And in the dream, I'm like, there's a water wheel going, and every time there's a gap between the blades of the water wheel, the Spirit of God is speaking to me in this dream, prophesy or pray, declare Isaiah 61. And that's a very familiar passage. I have it open right here, but the basics of Isaiah 61 is God, the Spirit of the Lord's on us to bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, give freedom to prisoners, proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Instead of mourning, they'll be rejoicing, garments of praise, robes of righteousness, a beautiful passage that most Christians will be familiar with. So I'm praying it, and in my mind, I kind of know in the dream that it's into the gaps of the spheres of society. And I'm thinking into politics, into education, into healthcare, into justice. And all of a sudden, it's like the scene changes, and I go from praying Isaiah 61 to this water wheel to like an open field or a hill, and God speaks to my heart in the dream, this declaration, declare Isaiah 61 into the music and garment industry. And, you know, I consider myself pretty stylish. Not many people do, however, so I know nothing about the garment industry. But of course, I love music. But I knew it was kind of the music, garment, and then my sense was into the arts. It just prophesy Isaiah 61 that God would raise up artists with this anointing to bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, give freedom to prisoners. And so that was, let's say that was probably on a Saturday. So on Monday, I'm out jogging in my neighborhood, and up alongside of me comes my friend Forrest Frank, and I've known Forrest for a few years. Many of you guys may know Forrest from the band Surfaces, but he was kind of transitioning from traveling with Surfaces and was obviously praying about what he was going to do and what all was going on these days in his life. And he jogged up alongside of me, and he said, "You won't believe what happened." And I said, "Well, talk to me." He said, "Jesus gave me a song in the shower, and it's a song called No Longer Bound, which is now known throughout the world, literally." And he said, "God gave me this song, and I just mixed it, and then I just put it up on the internet." And he said, in that particular week, he said, this past week, it was the number one streaming song in the Christian genre in America. And I was like, unbelievable. Wow. So we're just kind of rejoicing. And then a couple days later, Laura and I meet with he and his wife just to talk about what God's doing. And I tell him this dream about Isaiah 61. And then Forrest turns around and he says, "Well, you're not going to believe this, but God spoke to me about making T-shirts and making all kinds of gear, that there was something needed in the garment industry." And, you know, he'd be the first to say, "Hey, I don't need something else to do. I don't need another job." But I really felt compelled by God to make these shirts and hoodies and things as a declaration of God's grace and God's goodness towards us and towards others. And of course, if you follow any of Forrest's songs, okay, God's been giving him so many download incredible songs and music, just finished a hymns album. He has a Christmas album coming up. I'm so proud of the way he and Grace and now their little boy and how they have just stewarded the grace of God and honored Jesus with their gifts and their talents. And man, I just love those guys. So proud of them. So what a beautiful deal. So I have this dream, and then I run into Forrest in both the music and the garment industry. Well, a couple weeks later, I am at a wedding, and some old friends who are in a part of an Antioch church in San Antonio called Crossbridge, part of our movement, Landon and Megan Wood, and they were just catching me up on life. And they said, well, God did something really cool in our lives. About 10 years ago, God spoke to us about getting into accessories and making these high-end diaper bags is what I would say. They're really cool for cool suburb moms, I guess. And they said, we did it as a part of, we felt compelled. How do we invest in the nations? How do we invest evangelistically? How do we invest in using our gifts and talents? And it's called Lily Jade. You can go to lily-jade.com. And these diaper bags are like really the cool thing, you know, around America, and I think even in the Western world now. And but their whole deal was about the testimonies of vendors getting coming to the Lord, or God using the resources to bless others, or even where they got the products, working with different nations. And they were just so excited about that. And then they went on to say, but we wanted to tell you really about our daughters, one of our daughters, and now both of their daughters, have a company called Ruby Jade. It's rubyjade.co.co. And their whole vision was to be very overtly, clearly Christian, kingdom-oriented with everything they do, and to create clothing and accessories that were not just dripping with worldliness. You know, like, hey, how can we do modest, cool, trendy things that honor God and allow our generation to enjoy the beauty of what God does through accessories, garments, and all that stuff? And then I tell them that dream, and they said, no way, I can't believe that. And then we're sitting here having this conversation again about the garment and accessories industry. And then they went on to tell me that their daughter Caroline is also into music and is launching out some different music deals as well. And so I'm like, that is just so amazing. Well, obviously, we even have our friends Chip and Joanna Gaines here, and I was able to share that Isaiah 61 word with them as well. So there's this unique thing God's doing among his people in the music, garment, accessory, arts area that is so beautiful. So if that wasn't enough just to affirm that God is doing something fresh, I was in Brazil about 3 weeks ago, and I land in Brazil, and the guy who picks us up, sharp young guy, and he's one of the leaders in a movement called Dunamis, which is a young adult movement in Brazil. It also has a church planting movement, and they're just dear friends. Shout out to Teo Hayashi and Junya and all our family and friends in Brazil. But I get in the car, and I'm asking the guy about his life. So, hey, what do you do with Dunamis? What do you do with this conference we're going to speak at? And he said, well, I was over Dunamis Music, and now I'm over our new garment line. And I'm like, there is just no way. You can't make this stuff up. And I said, so you guys, he said, yeah, it was really unique. We felt like the Lord said that the garments was a big deal, that we were to get into that, as, of course, the music had already taken off everywhere. And so he just begins to tell me the story of this unique kind of cotton blend they came up with. And actually, if you watch on the video, I got a shirt on right now.
It looks good.
And it's right here looking good. And it's kind of a unique cotton blend, a really comfortable, cool shirt. And he told me one little thing that I'll tell you in just a moment that is so powerful related to this whole Isaiah 61 journey. And So he's telling me the story, what God's doing, and so we're just rejoicing over that. And I get to the conference, and I'm praying into that. I'm thinking, Lord, all this music and garment industry and the arts, why are you highlighting that so in particularly? And if you hear anything, I want you guys to hear this. I really felt like the Lord said, you know, we've been trying to transform society in a linear way. Like if you love Jesus and you're trying to bring Jesus into the workplace and you're believing for the kingdom of God to be expressed in every sphere of society as we are, and because we do believe that the right way to live for the whole world in every area of life is Jesus, his word, and his kingdom. And if you're, excuse me, if you're into that, you think, okay, if we could just get the right politician, if we could just get a really smart businessman to do really well, if we could just get a superintendent of a school, and those are all needful and right, if we could just think right and get the systems right, then we'll transform society. Well, I don't know if you've been around a while, but that's kind of challenging to do without inspiration and ultimately without the power of the Holy Spirit. So I believe, as I was there preaching in Brazil, that it all kind of came together for me, and that is this, that God is inspiring beauty and glory to magnify himself so that the heart is stirred and we have strength to go into healthcare, education, politics, business, whatever mission that God's given us. Because without the stirring of the heart and the coming of the Holy Spirit, there is no anointing and power to do the hard work that it takes to root out evil and replace it with righteousness and to daily show up at work and do that thing which God's told you to do. So that's a very powerful picture that I believe God's doing, not just, you know, we say for a generation, of course, that you can say millennials, Gen Zs, Alpha Gen, but it's really for the whole world. God is enlightening our hearts again to beauty, the natural beauties of life, but also through music and these arts and garment industry. So we had a really beautiful time down in Brazil. I'm so encouraged about it. But now, if that wasn't big enough, here's where the really powerful part happens. So I get to Slovenia. You know, that's where everybody's going these days, Zach, to Slovenia. It used to be former Yugoslavia. It's next to Italy. That I'll tell you. So it is a nice place. But we had all of our missionaries from North Africa, the Middle East, and Europe gathering. And so I fly from Brazil to Slovenia. And we do this really cool thing where we pray from 5 to 7 every morning. And there's just a great group. There's 20 or 30. The last day we had over 50 people in there. And we just spend 2 hours seeking God, and it's a really cool time. But you got to get up really early to do it. So this last morning we're there, I get up and I'm looking for a clean shirt at 4:30 in the morning. And you know how that goes, right? Just grab whatever you can kind of see. So I grab this shirt and I put on this shirt right here. This is my Dunamis shirt that they had given me. And I'm walking down to the prayer meeting and I'm saying, God, what are you going to do today in the prayer meeting? Because there's usually, when you do these longer prayer meetings, God emphasizes usually a scripture to pray into or a need that we need to all lean into. And so I was just deliberating over that. Lord, what are you doing this morning? And I felt like the Lord reminded me of all this Isaiah 61 journey. And I felt like he was saying, hey, renew this Isaiah 61 word, tell them, and y'all declare into the spheres of society, into the nations of the world. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, you guys, to bind up the broken heart, set captives free, give freedom to prisoners, and proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And so I'm walking into the prayer meeting, and a few minutes into it, one of our friends, Kurt, comes over to me, and he said, the Lord says, nothing's wasted, nothing's wasted. And immediately, I remember my conversation with the Dunamis guy who was telling me about the music and garment industry in Brazil. And what he told me was something very interesting. He said, do you know that when they create cotton garments, that 30% after they kind of weave the materials, 30% is waste. There's just this pile of unused cotton excess, basically. And he said, we were praying about that. God, what do you want to do with this waste? And the Lord put it in our hearts to create a fertilizer. So we got a patent. We've created this fertilizer that is dynamic and working. And the fertilizer that comes from the waste of making the garment could possibly be a higher yield, make more money, have more influence worldwide than the cool gift or garment that they have. So I'm reminded of that when I'm in this prayer meeting and I realize, oh my goodness, Zach, that's our lives. We're always looking for the gift or the garment or the song or whatever, but it's the It's the waste of our lives that God turns into the fertilizer for our lives to bring true transformation through our lives. Isn't that amazing?
It's powerful.
So think about it this way, another way. So many times people's greatest testimony comes out of their greatest brokenness. I lost a loved one. I had an abortion. I was an alcoholic. I had a broken family life, whatever. If they find God, or when we find God in those spaces, or I failed miserably, I failed God, I failed others, and I feel like I've wasted a part of my life. When we find the grace of God in the wasted places of our life, that becomes the greatest place of God's beauty. Because the resurrection is most on display when the failure is most apparent to everyone, right? So that's why it's so important when we talk about gratitude for Jesus and gratitude for salvation. We have to realize I was a sinner going to hell. I had wasted my life on destruction, but by his grace, he made himself known to me. And I'm not only not going to hell, I also have a future and a hope. And actually, many of my wasted places become my greatest testimony of God's greatness and goodness.
Amen.
So this Isaiah 61 theme that started with, obviously, the scripture, but a dream that affirmed that scripture, and then these different encounters landed in this prayer meeting 2 weeks ago. So after my friend shares that and I get all this download, I kind of share that with everybody in the room, and I said, all right, guys, let's break into groups of five, and because five is the number of grace, and let's pray out of Zechariah 4, where it says to speak, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And then it says to Zerubbabel in this declaration in Zechariah, speak grace, grace to the mountain. And the mountain in your life, the mountain for Israel struggling in that context. So we break into groups of five, and I jokingly say, hey, if it doesn't work out exactly five, then three's the number of the Trinity. You can get into a number of three. So everybody breaks into groups, and we start praying. Well, as we're praying, my friend Clarence Hill comes over to me, and he said, I'm looking around the room, and do you realize that there are 11 groups of five. There's exactly 55 people in the room praying. And he said, when I walked in this morning, God gave me Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. And here it goes. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear fruit and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it.
Well,
so here we are. We're declaring this Isaiah 61. We realize that even the wasted part of the garment industry becomes the fertilizer for the beautiful part of God's glory. We're in a room. There's exactly 55 people after God had spoken Isaiah 55 to my friend. This scripture just affirms, look, we think that everything's about us getting perfected in our own beauty versus being a reflection of the beauty of Jesus. So even as God gifts people, so like I said, I'm so proud of Forrest and Grace. They have taken these gifts, glorified Jesus, and the reflection of Jesus comes out of their music or out of the garments that they create. My friends with Lily Jade, I know their hearts. I know these. They're just gold. And out of that beauty, not only is God using mom and dad, but now their daughters have picked it up. And I will see what God does, but I believe that will be even a greater influence than the parents, because that's how God works. He builds from generation to generation. But what is their daughter's desire? That we might reflect Jesus through the music and garments. Of course, my friends in Brazil, that we might reflect Jesus. But they were wise enough to say, there's some waste here, and God doesn't waste anything. What might God be doing with what the world says is worth nothing? And it possibly this fertilizer could be the greatest invention that comes out of this journey, even out of the beauty of the music and garment industry. And that just blows me away.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
So amazing. Can you then tell the story connected to this about the dream that Laura talked to?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Well, back to Slovenia that morning. So we have a powerful time. We share it with the whole group. Everybody prays over each other's wasted lives. You know, we cry, we rejoice, we thank God for grace. And then Laura gets to lunch with our dear friend, Tracy Evans, who is a part of Antioch, and she works in Mozambique. If you've never heard Tracy speak, you want to, I'm advertising for all my friends today, but you want to go to Tracy Evans World Mandate 2022, Antioch.
Powerful.
Oh my goodness. You will wonder if you're a Christian at the end of it. I can't guarantee your salvation after you hear that. I can guarantee it according to the word of God. But I just wanted to say that she'll blow you away with a life given to the gospel worldwide. Powerful lady used of the Lord. And so she shared, she said, you know, this morning reminded me of a dream that I had had a few years back where an angel came to me in the dream and was walking behind me with a dustpan sweeping up ashes. And she knew that the ashes were the wrong things she had done, the places she had wasted her life, and in places as a believer where she had made it hard on people or just didn't do the right thing or whatever. And she said the part that she's embarrassed about, that really didn't want anybody to know. And so she's in the dream, she's dialoguing and saying, why are you doing this to the angel? And she said, oh, we sweep up all the ashes. And she said, well, I'm embarrassed about those. Could you just throw those away? I don't even want to look at them or know. I don't want anybody to know about them. And the angel looked at her strangely and basically said, I don't think you understand. We have to have something to make beauty out of. So we capture all the ashes of your wasted life so that we can make beauty out of your life again. This is for your good, that we capture this so that the beauty of Jesus may be manifest in her life. She said, from that moment on, I began to boast in my weakness and boast in my failures and boast in my challenges, because I realized that that's how God glorifies himself. In the end, Zach, you know, we all want to be known as hopefully as lovers of Jesus, people of integrity, people of honor, and it is right to honor people. The scripture encourages us to do that. And ultimately, I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the glory may be of God and not of ourselves. Yeah. Right? As the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with unveiled faces, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Yeah. That we honor the grace of God in people's life, our ability to reflect his glory is the greatest compliment we ever could get. When people see us, do they see Jesus? And so many times we're trying to cover up our wasted part of our lives in hopes that that we won't be found out.
Right.
But actually, by boasting in our wasted parts of our lives, the glory increases in our life. One last scripture, Acts 4:13, after it declares in Acts 4:12, there's no other name by which all men must be saved but the name of Jesus. And they looked on Peter and John as those untrained and uneducated, but they saw them as having been with Jesus.
Come on.
Isaiah 61 is also Luke 4:18 that Jesus declared to start his ministry. What if the Holy Spirit is restarting something again throughout the nations, in a generation, through the music, garment industry, at opposite end run? What if he's starting a movement again among the wasted parts of our lives? That would be just like him, to take the poverty of our lives and create beauty, to take the excess, even in the beautiful side of it, and create something for his praise.
I love it. I love the beauty from ashes. It's back to the Isaiah 61. So as I hear you tell that story, there are certain things that come to mind that I think are applicable for our community that's listening in. One, I love the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That living a life open to him, listening to him,
yeah.
leads us into places and relationships and situations that you never would have.
You can't create it.
You yeah. never would have thought about it. So if you're listening to this, I wonder, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Mm. What are some of the things that God's been stirring in your life that as you follow them, he's going to open up doors that you never would have imagined? Second, it makes me think about people listening in our churches that are involved in the arts or music,
yep.
and that God's doing something fresh yes. in the arts and music yes. amongst this generation, the garments
right.
and music,
right.
the art world that would stir hearts to the beauty of Jesus
yes.
and awaken our generation mm-hmm. in a fresh way. Another thing that I think about so often, whether you're an artist or a musician or just a person in general, there are all parts of our lives that feel like ashes, feel like waste, mm-hmm. feel like was that worth anything? And I think that the Lord wants to bring a fresh word of hope
yes.
that in those places that we've considered ash, God can redeem those and can bring beauty out of those for his glory. It's mm-hmm. not just our strengths that we want to bring to the Lord. It is those places, and we put the ashes in his hands.
Yes.
Who knows what God
yes.
might do.
Amen. Hey, can I just do one last story? The Holy Spirit reminded me while you're talking, and that is we have some dear, dear friends on the field and in the States that have really been presenting artwork at our conferences. Mm-hmm. And with this deep conviction that not only is God speaking through the art, but he's also healing people through the arts. And one of our gals, though there's been so many stories, talked about a particular art piece she felt like the Lord said to draw for a friend who had had this very severe, and I'm probably going to botch the technicalities of it, but her joints would stiffen up like every hour and they would possibly fuse. So she would have to, in one way, she would have to stretch every hour just to not end up being an invalid.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for months and months and months. And this friend created this piece of artwork just for her and said, just worship Jesus and let God speak through the art. Well, out of that, she got supernaturally healed, medically verified, x-rays to prove it. Out of that experience of music, art, and the beauty of Jesus being made manifest. So there are wow things that God's doing in through our moments. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Ira and Karen as well. Thank you guys for the artwork and the things that you're pushing us towards in this beautiful hour.
I love it. So, Jimmy, why don't you pray for us as we close?
Yeah, so Lord, I do pray over my heart, over all of our hearts, Isaiah 61, enlighten the eyes of our heart. Wake us up, God, because you are dropping your spirit on us to bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, give freedom to prisoners, and proclaim your favor and your grace in the midst of the waste of our world. Lord, thank you that you're going to bring beauty from ashes for all who trust in you, even those listening right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. For more information, please visit jimmyseibert.com and antioch.org. We'll see you next time.